Welcome to lesson 5 in the Revelation course. I pray this is, I just pray that God will give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that as we go through these things together, that revelation will be exploding within your heart, because I know that's God's will, God's plan, and God's purpose for you. Good. Hey, in today's lesson, we're going to cover just one of the most fundamental teachings, one of the base foundational teachings about Revelation from Matthew, I believe it's Matthew chapter 16. And there is so much in this teaching. I think somewhere else I have about 4 hours of teaching on this one passage, and it really is important. So I'm going to read in a moment in Matthew 16 from verse 13. But let me begin with this. It's an interesting thing, but Jesus loved to ask questions. Have you noticed that? Let me say that again. Jesus loved to ask questions. Jesus still loves to ask questions. Many times people would come to Jesus with a question, and Jesus would respond to them with a question. Sometimes we come to God looking for answers, and that's not wrong to do. But a great prayer to pray is, Lord, give me questions rather than give me answers. Have you thought about that? What about praying, Lord, give me the questions that you are asking me right now. Give me questions to think about rather than give me pat answers. I've learned that in life, and I'm sure many of you have. I've learned that, you know, salesmen talk about that. And I know as a pastor, I can give somebody the answer, but sometimes it will just bounce over their head. And I'd rather ask them questions that will lead them into thinking about the answers. And I think there's something connected here with Revelation again, where if we can find the right questions, it won't necessarily provoke an answer. Sometimes when God's engaging with us, he's not trying to give us an answer. He's giving us an invitation to meet him in relationship concerning the answers. Sometimes it's when God gives us, you know, when God gives us a prophecy, it's not always so we can sit down in a committee and think, how can we make this happen? Rather, that we can come to the Lord and in a way engage our hearts with hunger. There are times when God says something to us that I believe his impetus is to create a vacuum or a hunger within us that will say, Lord, I need you to fill that hunger. And having a question that you don't know the answer to is good. This is making sense, but it really does to me. Let me be careful saying this as well, but I guess I'm a Protestant, I think. I'm not really a protester, I'm a proclaimer, but I guess I'm a Protestant and evangelical. That's sort of my stream of Christianity. And yet the danger in being an evangelical is we try to find the answer to everything. And if we don't have an answer, we manufacture an answer and we have an explanation for everything. I've noticed, as somebody who lived in a Catholic country in France for 20 years and has many Catholic true born again, spirit-filled Catholic friends, don't always agree with their doctrine, but they love Jesus like I do, many of them. I learned something from them, that sometimes where Protestants or evangelicals want questions and answers, I think Catholics are more at home with mystery. Let me say this, to the measure that you embrace mystery, to that measure will God accord you revelation. Let's say that one again. If you refuse to engage your heart in the tension of mystery, you won't catch the release of revelation. Does that make sense? To the measure, when we're not okay, when we get frustrated by not knowing something, yeah, it's that very frustration which will bring us into a place of relationship where we will pull upon the Lord. It's worth going back and listening to some of those things again. So, in Matthew 16, I'll read the passage and we'll go back and make some comments on it. Verse 30, it says, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They answered, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I will say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, so much in this passage. But real quick, Jesus asks the disciples, he begins by asking them what I refer to as second-hand revelation. He says, what do you know about me that you've heard from other people? Who do people tell you that I am? What's my reputation? What second-hand revelation do you have of me? You know, what have you learned from me from others? John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets, this guy, that guy. And then Jesus says, who do you know me to? What do you say of me? And at that moment, something came down from heaven. Remember in lesson four, a man can receive nothing except to be given. Something comes down from heaven, bypasses Peter's head, thankfully, and enters into his heart. And then Peter speaks and says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, you're blessed. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Again, I want you to see that. Jesus says there's a revelation that we get from flesh and blood, and there's a revelation that comes from my Father in heaven. Jesus says there are things you can know about me in the marketplace, reading books, Christian TV, church, whatever, but there are things that come from my Father in heaven. And then Jesus straight away, and I think we often misread this, says, Peter, you're blessed. On this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want to suggest to you, my Catholic friends say that Peter is a rock on whom the church is built. The Protestants ride in and say, no, he isn't. Jesus is the rock on which the church is built. And I think there's little pieces of truth in both of those. I want to suggest to you they're both wrong. I believe the rock on which the church is built is the rock of the revelation of Jesus. The church is built on the revelation of Jesus. Now, pause with me for a moment. Your life, you became a Christian, not because of Peter. I mean, you became a Christian because of Jesus, amen. But you became a Christian when you got a revelation of Jesus. When not just you heard it in the marketplace, but when God opened your eyes and showed you Jesus. That's true of you as an individual, but the whole church is built on the revelation of Jesus. Jesus says, my ecclesia, my called out ones, will be built on this revelation of Jesus. And then he says, the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the armies of Satan, if you will not prevail against a church that's standing on the rock of revelation. Again, I want you to think about that. I want to suggest to you that most of the problems we have in our Christian walk is we're not standing on the rock. We're sitting in the premises. We are standing on other things than revelation. When we're standing on something which is some general truth we've heard in the marketplace of ideas, the gates of hell can prevail against us. When we're truly standing on the rock of what God's revealed to us, the gates of hell will not prevail against us. I think there are times in our life, attaching no blame, shame, or condemnation to this, but there are times in the lives of people we know where somebody's tried, let's say, to believe God for healing and it didn't work. I want to suggest to you what usually, not always, but what usually going on is they have a good set of doctrines. They've read Christ the Healer by Bosworth. They've got good doctrine about healing, but it's not a revelation to them. And Satan attacks them because it resides in their head as knowledge, not truly as revelation. So Jesus says, you're blessed. The church is built on revelation. The gates of hell will not prevail against revelation. Jesus then talks about two other things again, which I really want you to catch today. He says, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom. Now again, my Catholic friends will tell me, well, Peter's the key holder. Yeah, I'm not really sure what that means. I'm not sure my Catholic friends know what that means. If you ask a Protestant what the keys of the kingdom are, you'll get 200 million answers. There's more answers than there are denominations. I believe that the reason Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys, is what he's saying is that the kingdom of God gets unlocked by revelation. The keys of the kingdom of God, the keys to open the locked doors, the keys to access the resources of heaven are the things that flesh and blood has not revealed, but my Father in heaven has revealed. I found in my life, and I'm sure you have in yours, that the key to moving forward in life is not, it's not luck, it's not connection, it's hearing from God. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me one morning in Paris and said, I want you to go to America next week. And didn't have any invitations, no money, didn't know where to go. You know, I simply came to America because God told me to. And I met one pastor at a gas station who suddenly that because I obeyed God then, that was like a key to moving to the future that God has for me. Literally the church I'm pastoring today, you know, multi-million dollar property we have, all of that. I literally met the pastor who was leading that church on that very first trip to America, if I hadn't obeyed God then. So God has keys that will unlock the door that you can't force, you can't smash your way through, you can't patiently wait for. And the keys of the kingdom of God are the revelations that he gives to you. He says to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, what is the key to binding things? What are the key to loosing things? I want to suggest to you, same thing. The key is revelation. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for people who are, you know, bound by something or captive to something. Maybe prayed for healing, for deliverance, for something like that. And we can come with our cute little books and guides and lists and all of those things. If I'm really honest, and all ministers will tell you this if they're honest, most of the time those things don't really work. Methodology doesn't work. Revelation does. And you can spend days going through list after list after list after list and pressing this button and pressing that button. Eventually, if you do those things, maybe you're going to have some success that you can repeat and justify your methodology, but you will know, God will know, and the enemy know that that's not really the point. The key to seeing situations unlocked or tied up in a good way is hearing from God. Yeah, the key to every, God has a key to every situation. He has a key to every door. He has a key to every city, every country, every situation. There's a key that will get you in there. What's the key? The key is not hearing from flesh and blood. My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Hey, one last thought. I want you to catch this today as well. It's all about alignment. The things God shows us, the revelations we hear, bring alignment between the things of earth and the things of heaven. You know, sometimes we talk about an open heaven, a portal, Jacob's ladder, the place where the things of heaven and the things of earth interact. I've discovered that Jacob's ladder isn't a place in Israel. Bethel isn't a place in Israel or in California. Bethel is a person. His name is Jesus. And the key to having a life that's aligned between heaven and earth are truly hearing from God. Whenever we hear from God, whenever revelation bursts upon us, suddenly there's that open heaven, that alignment, things of earth, things of heaven. Boom. Hey guys, I'm nearly out of time here, but I encourage you to go through the notes to these lessons as well and engage with those and pray some of those prayers, those declarations, and see what the Lord will do with you. Good. We will be back in lesson 6. Bye.